Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get to this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave us a comment. And then without further delay, we'll go ahead and get this thing rolling, man. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner in podcast crime. Reg, what is the deal pimping?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's up with you?
Man, it has been what? Shit, I really ain't seen you since what? Shit, February?
Probably February, March. Yeah. It's probably, it could have been early March, man, so.
Yeah, it's just crazy, yeah, man.
I wouldn't say I look a little different, but I'll have to surprise you as far as a slightly different appearance that I have, so I'll leave that as a secret.
All right, then. Well, I don't
crazy,
but you know what though, man? I'm just now growing my beard back. I mean, you know, I shave my shit off, right?
What?
Yeah, man. That's what happens when
you mean off or
like,
down?
Like off. I just had the goatee for a minute.
Damn.
So I'm about 2 weeks in on the growth right now. And the one thing that I learned, man, when I shaved that shit off, you talk about a motherfucker that was immediately filled with regret.
It's like, damn, who you lose
I was
a bet
like,
to?
Shit. I was like, man, you know how to put on a little bit of quarantine weight and everything, man. Face fatter than a motherfucker. I'm looking like motherfucking what? Winnie the Pooh up in this shit.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh with a goatee. It. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's actually the change. So when you shave yours off, I actually did not shave my goatee area. I've shaved around. I didn't grow a beard, but my goatee, I have not shaved since early March.
Did you go ahead and let the gray come out, man? Are you still coloring your shit, man? Or is that a secret?
What are you talking about? What color? What are you talking about? It's the fountain of youth, man.
Yeah, whatever.
Talking to you.
But yeah, man, that's about it, man. Like I said, I saw my fat ass face and I was like, oh shit, I'm fucked up. Uh-huh. I was like, man, I was like, this is not good. This is not good. So I ain't posted. Well, I haven't posted anything on social media, bro. My shit has been strictly everything else but my face.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what it is, man.
Damn. I guess you can put your mask on. Your corona mask maybe could hide something on that.
Yeah, but and that's the thing, man. I called myself trying to be a little bit more aerodynamically sound. Because, you know, I'm fucking paranoid about this COVID shit. So I figure, you know, I'll shade the shit down a little bit. And I was like, fuck it, why not just go ahead and take it all off? Have an airtight seal. I was like, God damn. You know how you shave part of your shit and you just immediately realize, be like, fuck, this is not good.
Yeah.
This is not good.
I've learned the hard way myself.
Yeah, so but it, like I said, at least I didn't like go straight. I didn't go straight butt face. You know what I'm saying?
So you left the mustache.
Yeah, I left the mustache and the goatee. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty hefty little goatee. But I'm growing my shit back. I'm about 2 weeks in on the growth now, man. So it's safe to say that I will never be shaving that shit again.
Okay.
That's what it is. That's what it is. I mean, I might go low, but I will never go off.
Okay. So put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That is my beard is my filter. That's what that shit is right now, man. So, but you know, the funny thing about it is like, you know, when you get up to be my age, man, you really just start giving less of a fuck.
Every year.
You know what I'm saying?
I just don't give a
damn, bro.
Yep.
You know, so.
It's just, you know, values play shit.
That's what it is, man.
You love me or leave me.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, shit.
So, man, what we going to talk about today, bro?
You tell me, man. I think it's so much that we can, but I know you and I spoke recently about Michael Jordan, for starters, and you know, and instead of, it's a lot we could really get into with him from The Last Dance, but I think more recently we spoke about some philanthropy that he's put forth on the table in the form of several zeros.
For real. Well, let's do this, man. Let's take about 2 or 3 minutes, man, and just give our synopsises of the Last Dance, like, just in case, you know, you took a break from Earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, you didn't see it, you know, a few weeks ago. What was a? Because I know that you are a Michael Jordan stan. You are, you know, from Chapel Hill to the Bulls to whatever. You are waving the Michael Jordan banner. And honestly, I mean, I am too. I mean, he is the greatest basketball player to ever lace him up, and shit ain't even close, really.
Indeed.
But how was your opinion affected by that 10-part series?
Well, I think it pretty much sealed the cap on the whole discussion piece of greatness. Now, of course, a documentary is, you know, will pretty much tell the story, someone's story, right? It's just like a movie or anything else. So, And I know Jordan had a lot of control with that with ESPN. And so he's going to tell his side and put what he wants in it. And that's, you know, you had some naysayers and haters that combated some of the things that he said. But I think collectively for any Jordan fan or any basketball fan, whether you like Jordan or not, it really, I thought they did a great job on highlighting his greatness. It's amazing how cameras just follow the details, right? You know, you think that was in 98 mainly. I think it was the 98 season, his last season, that followed them, and just to capture all that, man, it's just amazing. But I summed it up real quick in 3 R's. Resilience, his killer instinct. Relentlessness, his drive and determination, and regality. So he pretty much assumed the power position in all that he does, right? And
right.
You can say his arrogance or whatever. Sometimes you have to be the shit. You have to walk around like, yes, this, I own this, right? And I can back it up. And that's the whole, I think that's one thing that separates them too. We always talk about killer instinct, he and Kobe, and, you know, it's just certain, you know, trait that he has and a few others have that just can't be, you know, duplicated. But he had swagger that he can just back that shit up, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what I, you know, that's what I liked about it. And it just, you know, it just sort of did it for me as far as his greatness.
Well, man, as far as I go, man, it didn't really tell me anything that I didn't know, because I mean, you know, mm-hmm. we've kind of lived through that. There were the finer details that, as you speak of, that, you know, some of the behind the scenes stuff that we just now are being exposed to. But I'll tell you what summed it up for me is, or how I summed it up is that even though the documentary showed just how much of an asshole he was at times, it also humanized him as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for, and you have to realize, you know, he lost his father at a very young age.
Right.
When you think about it, man. I mean, it's like, you know, you know, I was 33 when my father died, and I was 41. Mm. I was 41 when my mother died. Actually, 40. Mm-hmm. I was about to be 41. So, you know, but at that particular point, you know, I'm mm-hmm. you know, I'm a middle-aged man at 40. You right. know what I mean? You gotta think his dad died in what, 90?
Like 93 or something.
93
or 94 or something.
Yeah, so he would have been in his 20s still, right?
He was probably, I would say in his late 20s or 30s.
So,
or early 30s.
Yeah, so you think, I mean, that's still relatively young to have to experience that, you know, because you know how it is when you're young. And I'm not saying, you know, death can call at any particular time of the day.
Right.
But I think what humanizes him is that he had the sports world on his shoulders and had to publicly deal with all the bullshit that surrounded that, with them thinking that it was other things involved with his dad's death and shit. Man, I can't imagine trying to grieve and then having some insensitive motherfucker saying a whole bunch of shit about me. So, you know, they kind of humanized him in a way, you know, and you know, he showed his attachment to basically his surrogate father, the guy that was on his security detail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those things are humanizing, because you think, like, this is a guy that had everything in the world. He can't have anything more monetarily, right, or in the way of possessions or anything like that. But what he needed was somebody older than him to give him approval and stability and peace of mind.
Right.
Also, I noticed, and then we're going to move on after this.
Mm-hmm.
When you really think about it, man, in 98, bruh, he had lost a couple steps.
Yeah.
But he was so good that he was still the best in the league. But he had lost some steps, man. You got to think, he was drafted in as a 20-year-old in 84.
Yeah, he was 21, yeah.
So you think 98, you know, that's... Mm-hmm.
He was 35.
You know what I'm saying? But he was still good. He had lost a lot of steps, bro. Lost a lot of steps. And it just let me know that had he not retired, there's no way in the hell that anybody would have beat the Bulls. They would have won 8 straight.
Mm-hmm.
They would have won 8
straight. That's always that extra argument, too.
Yeah, this... And the last thing... this is going to be the last thing. I also learned that Jerry Krause had little man syndrome.
Yeah,
I don't know what it's up with these little dudes, man. It's like you got a good thing, but then you fuck it up because you gotta have the credit.
Gotta have it. Yeah, he was a little disgusting little dude, too.
That's what I'm saying, man. But even at that, he still is probably one of the greatest GMs ever, just for the moves that he made around Jordan, because he didn't draft Jordan. So he's still probably one of the greatest based on the moves that he made to build the team around him. But man, I'm telling you, and this goes in business too, man. I mean, you can't be so egomaniacal that you kill a legacy.
Yeah.
You can't be so egomaniacal that you stunt the growth of your organization. Because he said, oh, it's organizations that win championships. So I'm just like, dude, you are sitting there, you're mad because your dick is small. That's what this is about. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what killed that. So, but those are the things that I learned, man. So definitely a good show, man. I believe they probably could have cut this shit down to 5 and been good. You know, it was a lot of superfluous shit that they could have really, you know, they could have really knocked out.
Yeah, I like how they bounced back and forth though, and sort of brought it, you know, from old to new. Mm-hmm. From the 80s into, but I think they touched on a lot of the key rivalry pieces. I wish, of course he couldn't have been in there, but I wish Craig Hodges could have sort of slid in there, but I know that sort of negates, you know, would have combated Jordan in the whole documentary. Was taking it down a notch, but as a player, he had just as much involvement, you know, as far as with Kerr. I know why Kerr was in there and he drew the comparisons to him losing his father, but from a player, man, Craig Hodges was that dude.
He really was, man. And
but you know, his
that was before the quote unquote progressive mindset of the NBA. If that's what you want to call it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Craig Hodges, he was a little more conscious about things and he spoke out. He was sort of a little more mature about things as well, you know, and they ousted him. They pretty much blackballed him like a Kaepernick, you know.
Right.
Like he went and played cross seas after he left after 92, after his second ring. So, but that's a whole nother story. But other than that, I mean, you know, it was a pretty good series. Pretty good series, man.
Yep, it was, man. So now with everything that has been going on in the social stratosphere, if you will, with a lot of people, well, basically every fucking body who's not racist, you know, getting on the Black Lives Matter train. I still got some mixed emotions about that. We got some shows coming up about a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
But not mixed thoughts about Black Lives Matter, but just the way that things are shifting and the comfort level of people. You know, all of a sudden it's cool to say. Right. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there, man. Give me 45 seconds.
Go ahead. I'll give you a cool minute.
let me tell you, the only reason why motherfuckers are getting comfortable with saying Black Lives Matter is the fact that they're like, oh shit, these niggas done woke up and are not going to be spending money with me.
Mm-hmm.
I better get on their side. You know, it's just like at work, man, when you try to be cool with the crazy person just in case they come back and start shooting shit up.
Exactly.
That's what's going on right now.
Fear of a Black Planet. We touched on it last time.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's going on right now. So they're like, I mean, the only people that I can really truly roll with because they've shown is Ben and Jerry. Because they've been like that since day one. They've been crazy dudes from Vermont, very hippie-like liberal in their approach, and have always been on the side of social justice. All these other motherfuckers, man, they are really new to the game, man.
Yeah,
really new to the game, and it's real opportunistic, and it's very it's conspicuously awkward for some, you know, the way that some of these people are going about. You know, I'm more comfortable with people like at my day job giving a generic statement because I know they're a bunch of racists. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm comfortable with their statement because I know that they ain't shit.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I don't expect anything out of them. But anyway, we're going to have another show on that.
Yeah, we will. But I'll just add to that. And I agree. I was thinking about it today because every channel you turn on, that's what it is. And I'm like, even in Charlotte, they painted uptown. I don't know if you saw Black Lives Matter on the street.
Yeah, I put it on my Facebook page. The artwork was dope. And
yeah, it is. It is. I'm like, something's bigger right now. Let's make sure we step back and watch real careful because people are jumping on the bandwagon a little too fast and... You know,
they're too comfortable, bro. They're too comfortable.
What am I supposed to be looking at? If you want me to look at this all the time, that means something else is going on. So let me digest this.
Right.
I agree with you, man. It's like,
and you know, I'm not the conspiracy type dude, but I still feel like that there is a method to this madness because, like, with the police kneeling and all this shit, that's like a fucking wife beater.
Symbolism, man.
And the abused spouse.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, now you want to kneel?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing with the NFL, man. It's like, we had this discussion before when we talked about Kaepernick about...
When
2018, we were talking about this shit. About how everything was going on when I was boycotting the NFL. And I'm just like, the reason why I'm boycotting that shit is because every other black motherfucker in that league should have been kneeling with him. That's the reason why I did not watch. But now, motherfuckers got a mouth on them now. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like, what? You don't get praise from me for doing the shit that you're supposed to do. You know, you let this brother shoulder this whole load by himself while you went out and cashed that check.
Right, right.
And now, all of a sudden, you know, the check cleared. Now you bold.
Yeah.
That's whole shit to me, bro. I don't care what nobody said. That is some whole shit, and I don't like it. I don't like it either.
I saw a meme that said it had Kaepernick's face, and it said, "If I told you so was a person," and you know, basically, it is what it is, and you know, either you and you've heard me say this 1,000 times: either you're for black empowerment or you're not.
There's no fucking in between.
You just choose. you know, you choose which side you want to be on.
Right.
And you know, you substitute your own word. Either on you're on the side of right or you're on the side of wrong.
Right.
You know, you just go back and forth. But, you know, in this whole Drew Brees thing just sort of threw me off as well.
You know, it didn't throw me off, bro. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, number one, Drew Brees is from Texas. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he is from the heart of Texas. You know, Texas motherfuckers are crazy. Shout out to everybody in Houston and Dallas that listens to the show. I see all of the stats. Y'all are really holding us down. However, y'all motherfuckers are crazy down there. And he can't help but to be what he is. You know, he is who I thought he was. And regardless of the amount of money that he's thrown out there, $5 million for COVID or whatever else in the community of New Orleans, you can't outrun your privilege. That shit is right. Like, that shit is like DNA. It's like whatever you say, whatever you do, you cannot absolve yourself from the fact that being a white male gives you the opportunity to go through life blissfully and aggressively ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You get the latitude to be able to be as dumb as you want without consequence. You get to be as outspoken and as willfully ignorant and wrong as you can be without consequence. You can be as incompetent as you can be, see the White House, and still be rewarded. You can do all these things under the veil of white privilege.
That's a textbook definition. Right there.
I mean, you can do all of this shit basically with impunity.
Mm-hmm.
However, motherfuckers ain't having that shit right now. So when he start popping off at the mouth about that flag shit, everybody's like, hold up, that ain't what the shit is about. You know, he interjected that shit. You know, he wanted to play Billy Badass. Like, you know, I'm the white quarterback leader. I'll never stand for anybody disrespecting the flag. Da, 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 da. And I'm just like, man, you know what, man? Fuck you. And your kids, and your wife, and your fucking dog, and your racist ass grandparents that fought in the war. Fuck all of you.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how I feel about it, man, because your privilege allows you to say some dumb shit like that without even living within the moment of what our country is going through. That's what I'm talking about, willfully, blissfully, and aggressively ignorant.
Yeah.
You get to do that. We as black people do not get to do that dumb shit.
Right.
We have to be acutely aware of every fucking thing. We got to be aware of the fact that you ain't shit, that you don't know what the fuck you're doing, that you're ignorant, but yet we have to be 20 times smarter and yet keep our emotions under control. You understand what I'm saying?
That's true.
I mean, so it's man, I can't tell you how many times I want to choke the shit out of somebody at my job, man. Just for being stupid.
You grow up in a bubble, right? And that bubble does not allow you, or does not allow him and many people like him with that mentality to see beyond the flag as a symbol. Growing up, I can remember as a child, my dad saying, you know, anytime we had a ball game and you have to say that, you know, the anthem or whatever, you stand up. Because I didn't say it because he didn't say it, right, at an early age. But he would always say, Reggie, see that flag up there? They care about that flag more than they care about you. And I remember that for a long time. And I was one of those few kids that did not say the Pledge of Allegiance when everyone else did. No one reprimanded me, but I just, in my own little way, I just stood there. You know, I didn't put my hand over my heart. But
I need to make you a shirt called Ben Woke.
Ben Woke. Since 73.
You know what I'm saying? Ben Woke since 73.
But he is the example of someone who lives in that bubble and just says, hey, I when I look at the flag, I think my two grandfathers fought in the wars. And you know, I don't know if it's World War One or two, whatever. And you know, how dare anyone disrespect the flag? And I'm like, hold on, brother, hold on. Didn't he kneel down at one time at one of the games.
Man, he did something, but I think it was prior to, because you remember when they did those things prior to the flag, because Jerry Jones got down on the knee.
Yeah,
I think it was prior to the actual anthem in and of itself. Yeah. They tried to whiten that shit up. You know, just so they wouldn't piss off what they felt like was their paying customer. You know, that's what the shit is about.
And to what you were saying, very deliberate. Like at a time like this, you come out and emphatically say what you said. You know what I'm saying?
That's what your heart is. You see what I'm saying? That's your heart.
Exactly. That's why apology not accepted.
Right.
Because you know what you said. What apology in that case, you know, you apology for stepping on my shoe. Hey, bro. Oh, my bad. I mean, it's like you already said that, you know, how you feel is ingrained in your blood with your grandfather. So do you apologize? Are you going to remove what your connection is to your family, your grandfathers? That means that, you know, that's just an apology. His agent probably called him up like, yo, we got to figure some shit out.
You know, it was choreographed, right? You know, they always got the fixers.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers got their Olivia Popes on speed dial. You know how that shit goes.
Exactly. I mean, you're talking about one of the blackest cities, New Orleans, would have hemmed them up, one of the blackest states, Louisiana. I'm like, dude, no.
You fucked up, man. Nah, and like I said, I mean, he's canceled, bro. I mean, and I agree with Shannon Sharp, man. He needs to go ahead and retire, because it doesn't matter. Well, I will say this, man. You know, I know that football is one of those particular sports where if you're a professional, and when I say professional, I mean that there's no off season. If you are truly a professional football player, when you get in that locker room, man, you can't have those distractions. You can't have the type of distractions to keep you from going out there and performing at a high level, because you would get your fucking head knocked off.
Dude, his offensive line gonna be like, fuck it.
They're gonna be Olay. They're gonna play that Olay protection. They're gonna let the Bulls come through. But my point being is that they'll probably shore things up. Everybody, they'll do their little kumbaya shits. They'll coon a little bit, and they'll be like, "You want some Motisa? We so do loves the way you throw that ball there, Mr. Breeze."
Yes,
you know what they're gonna do? Mm-hmm. They're gonna go down there and say that everything is all good.
Yeah.
You know, you just let this white dude basically just spit in your fucking face, and now you got to play nice. You see, and that's the problem, is that it's all, why the fuck is it always on us to play nice?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't play nice no more, bro. It's like I'd rather stick a knife in your windpipe, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I smack the shit out of you, man, I'll be out of jail in 2 hours.
Yeah, you got your little accolades, so just go and ride out in the sunset with you and your flag. Go sit your head.
Yeah, just go somewhere with your motherfucking flag and sit the fuck down. Because, you know, but again, like I said, a lot of these NFL dudes, man, a lot of them are hoes, man. A lot of them are hoes. You know, and it's like, and you know, I got a relative that plays in the NFL.
That's right, you do.
Young dude that's really doing his thing, but he's out there protesting and giving back to his hometown and everything too. So you know, but a lot of them other motherfuckers, man, they some hoes.
It's a clown show,
and actually, and especially if my thing is, if you are a New Orleans Saint and you walk out on the field with this motherfucker, you on some hoe shit. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's Malcolm Jenkins, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, any of them motherfuckers. Y'all some hoes.
Yeah.
Y'all some hoes if y'all do that shit. Dude put his heart out there of how he felt about all of y'all motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't escape that shit, bro. And like I said, I mean, where was he at? Up under a fucking rock that he didn't know the climate in which he was speaking to?
Right.
No, that's him, dude. That's him.
I'm white and I say so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So if y'all ride with that shit, y'all some hoes. That's some real sucker shit. And you know, the other side of that is that I can't legislate how a motherfucker feels and how they act.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my opinion. You know what I'm saying? If y'all ride with that motherfucker, y'all some hoes. That's some sucker shit. Because what you should do is collectively flex and be like, ain't none of us coming in if this motherfucker's on this team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You need, there will be no season if this motherfucker's on this team.
You want me to come to practice?
What? Like, we talk about practice? Okay. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and you know, my whole thing is this: if you want to try to be, if you want to try to unify, you unify against what the fuck is wrong, and you try to embrace what's right. You know, this motherfucker didn't say, he didn't say, hey, you know what? The climate's a little bit different right now. I know that I've said some things about protesting the flag before. I don't know if it's really applicable right now. I really need to consult with the people that are important in my life before I even talk about it.
Right. Right.
That would have been the smart thing to say.
Yeah, just be careful.
Right. Just be careful. You just say, hey, look, you know, say I'm conflicted because I've my stance has always been strong. I'm really conflicted, but I really need to get with my brothers on my team to figure out how we can tackle this together as a unit. With me being the leader, I need to galvanize my men to figure out what we can do to come to an understanding and make things better. That's what you do as a leader. You know what I'm saying? You put yourself out there and say, hey, look, I don't have all the answers. That's why I'm going to shut the fuck up. I'm going to get with the people that are closest to me, people that I care about. And I'm going to listen to them before I even say anything about it.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do. Right. That's what you. Yeah. But no. Let me let my whiteness show. Let me put my full whiteness on display. Let me put this privilege out here. Matter of fact, my privilege with a side of my nuts on the table. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, and that's what he did. And the only reason why he started backing up. It's because motherfuckers start eating them for lunch.
Yeah.
They start calling them out on that shit. That's the only reason why.
Right.
Otherwise, he would have been stupid and ignorant and unpunished.
So what could he say now to soften most of his players, teammates or whatever? What else can he say now?
Not a goddamn thing.
Yeah, because I even though it was still,
it's a wrap for that motherfucker, bro.
I would rather someone stick to what he said in a sense and just sort of say, look, I can never change the way I feel about the flag of my grandfathers, so I meant what I said. However, I need to do better at listening. I think you pretty much said it. After the fact, it's like, I need to listen to my black players, you know, teammates, and so I can have a better understanding. But I can't apologize for what I said because I meant it. We don't hear that type of shit in the media. We don't hear that.
And to me, that's real nigga shit right there. If you say, you know what, I kind of meant what I said. You know, right. Am I empathetic? Yes. Am I sympathetic to people that have lost their lives? Yes. Do I want to be more culturally aware and do I want to stop, you know, racism? Yes. Do I believe all black lives matter? Yes. You know, do I want to make shit better within my city? Yes. But I still don't want people protesting the flag. You know, if he wanted to go that way, you know, but my whole thing is he doesn't even understand what the protest was about. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's the whole thing. He's still aggressively ignorant in his approach to things. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you know why? Because just like with law enforcement, I can say and do what I want. And guess what? I might hit a few rocks here and there. But man, come September, these niggas going to be on the field. These people going to be in the stands if they allow people in the stands to
run, nigga, run.
Whatever. Nigga, Michael Thomas catches ball.
Right.
You know, let's go get this trophy. Let's run after this ring.
Right.
And you know, unfortunately, and hopefully the heat is still beyond though.
I want to
see all this shit to sort of crumble and fail on us. You know what I'm saying?
I did hear we got to talk about a little bit more about Jordan and the check, but man, let me tell you. I'm still pissed off at the NFL, man, because like I said, now motherfuckers want to kneel and shit. I mean, don't kneel now. Just don't show up. If you really want to shake the world, if you really want to get Colin Kaepernick back in the league like motherfuckers are talking about, or if you want him voted into, I actually thought that voting him into the Hall of Fame, that shit would be dope. You know, because they put sportscasters in there, GMs, owners for contributions to the game. You know what I'm saying? That shit would be dope. Because you take a pro athlete out for 4 years, he ain't gonna be the same, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's gonna be a tough road, man. And I think that he's okay with his martyrdom. You know, if he is okay with that, let the motherfucker be. Let him go ahead and be what he's gonna be. But don't nobody need to show up. Training camp? Nah, fuck that. Preseason? Yeah. Nah, fuck that too. Season? Nah, nah. We you know, this is what we need. They can't fire everybody, bro. What they gonna do?
Dude,
who they gonna get to play?
I think we said this on a podcast maybe over a year ago in some respect.
We the plug.
Exactly.
We the plug. That's what I've been saying the whole time. We the plug.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we are the motherfucking product.
That's right.
Shit don't move until we move. And it's a shame that you can pay these motherfuckers millions of dollars and they still can't wake up and see that shit. Which lets me know that, okay, you're fucking up your money. Because at any given time, if you're making $10 million a year, $5 million a year, $1 million a year, it's motherfuckers that don't make $1 million in a lifetime. Gross, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you make $50,000 a year, you know what I'm saying? You got work 20 motherfucking years. That's 20 years at a above average salary to make $1 million. Gross. Mm-hmm. You make that shit in a year. And you can't afford to be like, nah, I ain't coming. It just speaks to a lot of other different things, man, that we ain't got time to get into, man. But let's move on, man, before we wrap up, man. What do you think about, we talked about Jordan in The Last Dance before, but what we really wanted to talk to and the reason why we're putting him on the same show as Breeze is because of the diametrically opposed approach to this particular social seismic shift, if you will, and the chasm that it's creating. Amongst people that want to be on the right side of history and the people that want to be on the wrong side of history. Because that's basically what it's coming down to now.
Exactly.
Either you are going to be with making things as equal as we can possibly make it, or we're going to put you out of business. That's the goal. Right. So Michael Jordan came out, man, and he's normally silent on a lot of shit. Has taken a ton of flight, even though you and I know, being in the Carolinas, we know the types of things that he has done around the communities, you know, as
has not.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, so we know.
Right.
But when he finally says, you know what, this shit's fucked up, and I'm paraphrasing, but this shit is fucked up, we gotta do better. And then you put 9 figures on the deal over the course of 10 years. But I mean, but even a $10 million donation is better than a lot of motherfuckers are doing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But he put 9 figures on it, bro. What you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think you summed it up by saying he wanted to be on the right side of history. I mean, that's a good caption to a story, a good headline. I think it's a good thing. I really would like to see where it goes, you know, how it trickles down to specifically help Black American communities and, you know, through education and social justice and racial equality pieces. But it's like he knows that he's not really a voice in the fight. He never was. You saw that in the documentary as well.
Right.
We know that he's just not a big Black power guy, if you will. But I got all this money, and with the help of Nike and the Jordan brand, hell yeah, let's do something. I don't, maybe it is an awakening moment. I mean,
it's better late than never, bro. And I'll tell you this.
I pat him on the back. Because he didn't have to do it.
Didn't have to do this shit at all. At least, well, you know what? No, I take that back. He had to. He had to. But he didn't have to do it to the degree that he did. I think that, and I don't care where the money is coming from, man. If you throwing 9 figures out, kudos to you. I don't care if you got business partners to do it. What, however you procure the money. 9 figures is 9 figures. 100 mil is 100 mil. And I think that he had to, because this is why I'm gonna be philosophical about it, but I feel like that Michael Jordan's a country motherfucker, dude. This dude grew up in Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
He's country Black. You know what I'm saying? People don't understand that. I mean, this nigga's country black, dude. And it's like, you, when you grow up that way, you have picked up lessons from your siblings, your older siblings, your mother and your father along the way that cannot leave you no matter what type of heights you reach in your avocation, in your profession. There's some shit that cannot leave you. And the hurt and the mistreatment that environmentally has been passed along to most of us based on what our parents and our grandparents have gone through. If you have any kind of soul, that shit never leaves you. Right. So I think intrinsically, this is something he had to do. You know, it's that tug, it's that pull. You understand what I'm saying? So it he didn't have to do it because somebody else said he had to do it. He had to do it because it was something in him that would not let him rest. Because to come out and say 10 million over 10 years, that's more than just some people urging you, Michael, you got to do something. Hey, Michael, this is an opportunity for a great, you know, public relations thing. Hey, it's an opportunity to clean up this shit from back in the 90s. No. That can't be what this is, because he could have done that with far less money. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but I'm just saying he probably thinks, man, I'm so far ahead of this game. I'm so far ahead than anybody in my community that they probably will never catch up. I can lose this 100 mil if somebody can catch up, if somebody can have a better head start. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that has to me, that's just looking at it. That's probably what the pool is. So again, intrinsically, it had to be something that was deeply inside of him, deeply embedded inside of him, to where he had to get up off that money like that, man. This is how I feel about it, because he could have easily done it for a lot less, could have easily said a lot less, and still would have been within the realm of acceptance. Just because he said something. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I look at it, man.
Yeah, I can dig it. And I would probably think he had a good talk with his mother, too, that could have stirred some of that up as well. I mean, you know, who knows family dynamics once you reach certain marks and careers like his.
That's what I'm saying, man. Those environmental experiences never leave, man. You know, say he wasn't always rich. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're good, honest family working in the fucking country. Wilmington. Wilmington country is fucked now.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what it was like back then. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, so
you know they had a Black Wall Street too.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, they had that shit too. And the same fate.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same fate. So, you know, environmentally speaking, man, there's some things that you just can't escape being black.
Yeah.
Those are the things, those type of, you know, stories and stuff get passed down to you. And it's, you don't know that it's traumatic at the time that you're listening to it and absorbing it.
Mm-hmm.
But as your experiences start to shape you, you start to see the relativity between what you've been told, what you've been shown, and what you've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden that stuff starts coming full circle. And he's like, you know what? I got the motherfucking power now. I got the motherfucking money now. I have the opportunity to do something.
But wouldn't you say he had the money before?
But I'm just telling you, bro. It's almost like
how things line up, though, right?
I'm just saying that this is the thing, though, man. It's how you feel. Remember when I talked about how I don't really give a fuck about appearance and shit now?
Mm-hmm.
He's at that same shit. He's what, 10 years older than us or so? He pushing 60 now?
He's born in 63. Yeah, so he's
pushing 60, yeah. Right, so he's in his I don't give a fuck stage. You know, it's like now when you're at that level of business, everything has to be calculated. And I think that this was the uncalculated thing that he finally said, okay, enough is enough of the calculations. Enough is enough of the protecting the brand. Enough is enough of protecting the image. Enough is enough of the neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that, you know, that was something that had been building, you know, it's like, you know, some people, you know, like people who, you know, who, you know, people who practice religion and, you know, and things like that. It's like when you want to turn your life around and you want to turn it over to whoever you think your creator is. A lot of times it's a feeling that you can't escape. It's a feeling that pulls you and tugs at you until you're like, okay, yeah, there's something greater than me that I have to surrender to. And I think that this is his thing, because this honestly was his only bugaboo. You think about it. Yeah, he's a high stakes gambler on golf and at the casino. Big deal. So is every other white billionaire who gambles.
Yeah.
So that ain't even no big thing. But this was his bugaboo. This was his thing.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why black people were like, oh, you ain't do shit for the community. You got people killing for your shoes. Da, 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 da. You know all the shit that they say.
Yeah.
This was his thing. This was the kryptonite to the entire legacy. So it was just kind of like a perfect storm.
I hope you're right too. I hope he follows through his actions and the money follows where it should be. And that his, you know, I can't speak for a man's heart, but I certainly hope his actions sort of reflect his generosity. And kudos to him. I think you said it all there.
All right, man. Well, we're going to let the people know that in addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, CastBox, Podbean, and some other outlets out there too, man. The people just jack the RSS feed and just post it up anywhere. We appreciate you because it's getting us exposure. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe, and all that where appropriate. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWpodcast.com. And man, just want to say one last thing, and that's fuck Drew Brees. And that's
it. Get some coffee mugs on that, man.
Yeah, fuck Drew Brees. It's shirt coming soon, man.
Yeah, it is.
We can sell this shit for $9, bro. Fuck Drew Brees.
$8.99. He don't deserve $9.
He only deserve $9.
$8.99,
goddamn. That's a little too. All right, brother.
Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
All right, man. We out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass just decides to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.